brand new segment with business futurist Morris Michalowski. Today, social media explained and demystified. So welcome, Morris Michalowski. Morris, good morning.
Good morning, David.
Oh.
Wow, got a lot of technology.
Morris, good morning.
Hello, David. How are you?
Here we go. This is a nice start. Get things rolling.
You can't trust technology even in the future.
Not at this time of the morning, though. Okay, Morris, well, first up, of course, the first question has to be, what is a business futurist?
A business futurist is a fancy title for someone who looks ahead of tomorrow. So my role in life, and I've done this for 31 years, is to paint the landscape of the way that the world is likely to evolve, literally from this minute through to about the next 30 years or so.
Not easy to do, is it? You need to get the crystal ball out, do you?
Well, not so much the crystal ball. I think I've rubbed that one to death. But it's more about a hypothesis of the way that I think we're likely to use technology, change the way we think, change the way we work, the way we play, the way we eat, the way we live. And from my viewpoint, it's always about the human side of it. It's not about technology. It really is about how we're likely to change as human beings, what sorts of things we want to have in our lives, what sort of things we think are redundant, what sort of things we just want them to invent so that we can start using them.
Remind the listener that the phone line is open if you have any questions for Morris. Meanwhile, we're having a chat about the future of whatever. 1-300-221-001 is the number to call. 1-300-221-001. That talkback line is open throughout our chat. All right, Morris, well, first up, of course, in recent times, the big change we've seen is our move towards a digital world. Well, what do you make of that?
It absolutely is. It's something that we've lived through and we kind of take for granted and just shouldn't. It's only been the last 20 years or so that we've had this online presence. Up until then, everything we wanted to know, everything we could find out about the world, we had to get in some tactile way. We had to go to a library and find a book. We had to ask somebody. It was something that we had to physically go to. In the last 20 years, and especially the last 10 years, we've had this online space where at the end of a keyboard we can find information and we can find all sorts of answers to the most inane questions.
So how has this changed the way we operate?
It's given us a real sense of entitlement, I think, in many ways. It's kind of given us the thought that we have power. The power being that we can find answers to questions. We don't need to remember as much as we did before, so it's changing that side of it as well. If you ask many people what someone's phone number is, for instance, I doubt many people would be able to remember them because they go to their mobile phone and just push a name or a number.
Yep.
And whereas 20 years ago, that was quite ordinary. You remembered all of that. If we talk about education, and this gets a bit controversial, if we talk about education, when I went to school, I had to remember my maths timetables, and teachers spent years trying to make me remember my 8 times table and 9 times table, because there was no way, if you didn't know it, to know it. Nowadays, we just go to a calculator, or more important, we just go to our mobile phone and the calculator option in there.
So does that mean parts of our brain are going to gradually become dormant?
Well, we're going to use it in a very different way. But you're right. Part of the brain that we used to use is certainly going to be repurposed or reused in a completely different way. And it's not for storage as much. It really is more for synthesis. It's more to make sense of. And the education system we're moving into is definitely teaching that skill more than the storage skill anymore.
So does that mean you see us evolving into sort of digital thinkers? And if so, what is a digital thinker?
Yeah, I absolutely do. It's a term that we're throwing around which talks about the notion that some of our thinking and more the mundane, the routine thinking is going to be done online for us. So we'll use a computer, we'll use a phone, we'll use whatever there is at hand to actually work out, to keep, to store. And you and I will then do higher order thinking. So we'll make sense of it, we'll figure out what should be done with it, how it should be used, where it should be used, and we'll do that side of things.
Morris Michalowski on ABC Wide Bay, and you're welcome to join in the chat as well. The talkback line is open, 1-300-221-001, 1-300-221-001. Maybe you have some questions about the digital world, maybe some questions about social media, which we'll be touching on very shortly, or maybe some other questions about the future of business. 1-300-221-001 is the talkback number, and John of Harvey Bay is on the line. Hi, John.
Good morning again, David.
Morning. What's your question for Morris?
My question for Morris, and I hope this falls within his scope, is bearing in mind that, to me at least, it appears that the packaging and presentation is now more important than the actual content, be it either human content or physical content. Where does he see us going in the future?
So, John, when you're talking about packaging and presentation, are you talking about a physical product or...?
Well, either. I mean, when we actually buy quality and design than the content. And when we're talking about human beings, e.g. classics being, of course, politicians, once again, the presentation seems to be far greater than what they're actually offering us.
Yeah, you're right in many ways, John. So the packaging and presentation's really been a marketing trick for the last 60, 70 years. That bottle of perfume that you buy that might cost you over $100 really only has less than a dollar's worth of perfume inside of it. The rest of it goes towards marketing, bottling and all kinds of bits and pieces. And the same with a lot of clothes that we buy. But going on to your politician's side, we're seeing now that we have a digital reputation, which means that online we can begin to question our politicians. We can find out about their history, where they've been, where they're going, what speeches they've made, what they really stand for. So in some ways we're actually tearing down the surrounds of what a politician might have been. There was a time not so long ago that, believe it or not, we used to honour politicians, bankers, accountants, solicitors, those sorts of people, because we thought they had information that we could never get. Nowadays we know that not to be true, because we can find that information. So much of the conversation about politicians now is really about, well, you know, stop telling me stuff that I already know, let's make sense of it, tell me how you're going to fix this stuff.
Interesting. Thanks for your question, John.
No, well, it doesn't, because what I'm trying to get at is, yep, where does, if we are going down this path, and I agree with everything that Morris, yes, has just said, where does he see us ending up? Because we're having less and less to do with the quality than we have with, as I say, the presentation. So we must be going backwards.
I'm not sure if we're going backwards. We're going in a different direction, but you're right. We seem at the moment to be talking a lot about quantity. You know, we can get lots of stuff. I hope, and I do see, that over the next 2, 3, 4 years, we're going to balance that out and become more about quality again. At the moment, I talk about this as being a kid in the candy store. We've got so many new tools, so many things that we can do online that we're all besotted by it, and we spend far too much time on this stuff. I do believe in the next few years that will settle down, as you've seen people who have used this stuff for the last 5 or 10 years. They've kind of gotten over the tools, they're more interested in the substance of it. And I do see a time when we'll all go back to the substance, but we just got to walk through this teenage time of kids in the candy store for a little while longer.
All right, Morris, thanks for that answer. John, thanks for the question. John of Harvey Bay on ABC Wide Bay, you're welcome to join in as well. The talkback line is open, 1-300-221-001, 1-300-221-001. Having a chat to Morris Mislowski on ABC Wide Bay, business futurist, and concentrating on the digital world right now at the moment, touching on social media as well. Morris, I understand that you see it something that there's a growing sense of digital entitlement out there. Well, what do you mean by that?
It goes back to the notion that because we have access to information we've never had before, we've got access to thinking we've never heard before, that we now think that we're entitled to it, that we know it, that we have some special entree into it. And we've never had that before. This isn't a good or bad argument, it just is the way that human nature is developing. We now know that, again, at the end of our fingertips, as long as it's attached to a keyboard, we can find out answers to anything, talk to anybody. The world is flat, there's no physical geography anymore. If you ask kids today, they see the whole world, not a part of it. You know, they play games at night on their computers with friends that they've never physically met before. It's just this ongoing sense of entitlement that we are connected to the world, that we do have a right to know that information, and it's ours to do with as we want.
So is that positive, or are there some negatives there?
Well, human nature is difficult. It's never really positive or negative. It's what we make of it. I mean, it definitely has some downsides, and I think that we need to learn to understand that because we have all the information, doesn't necessarily we mean we have knowledge or wisdom, which are the three levels I talk about. Information is what we're getting tons of, and we're literally drowning on it online. We're going to have to become far better at turning that into useful, purposeful knowledge, and even more importantly, which is where most of us are going to make our living into the future, wisdom. So really being able to do something with it that other people aren't able to or less able to. But on the other hand, is this entitlement can certainly make us perhaps not the most inviting of people to talk to. So we've just got to balance that out.
All right, this is ABC Wide Bay, 1-300-221-001. The talkback number, if you want to have a chat to Morris Mislowski about the future of business. He is a business futurist, and in a moment we'll have a chat about social media and try to explain it and demystify it. But the talkback number is open if you want to join in, 1-300-221-001. Back to Morris in just a second.
Now available, a new ABC book, Bert Hinkler, The Most Daring Man in the World, written by Grantley Keyser. Bert's flying career began with a small glider in Bundaberg, then service in the Great War. He
1-800-221-001 if you have a question for business futurist Maurice Mislowski on ABC One Bay. Let's jump into social media now, Maurice. Of course, we're using it quite a bit now here on ABC One Bay, but there are still a few who have yet to jump into the world of social media. For those who don't quite understand it, what is it all about?
Social media is a really new term. It's only been around for 7 years or so, but it seems to many like it's always been part of our lives. Now, what's happened is in every generation since we were put on Earth, literally when we were put on Earth and we lived in caves, we found a way to communicate, to tell the rest of the planet who we are and what we were. And when we lived on caves, we used to draw on the cave walls. And it wasn't to make pretty pictures, it was to tell people that this is where the land is, this is how it's used, why it's used. We skipped through, we went to Gutenberg's press, we went to radio, to television, we went to newspapers, we did all kinds of things, each of them trying to give a voice to that generation. Social media is just the newest form of doing that. It's no more than the newest, fanciest communication tool. And in it, we can do things we've never done before, but it really needs to be seen as no more than the newest telephone, television, radio, newspaper. And in that context, it just becomes a listening, a learning, and a talking tool.
Sounds good. And when we think of social media, we often think of youngsters using it. Is that the way it is? Are the ones that really are taking it up and run with this, or is everybody starting to use it?
Well, strangely enough, when we talk about social media as distinct from the digital space, the online space, youngsters are not the largest represented group in any stats we ever see. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not in it, but they're actually not using just social media. They're playing their games, they're SMSing, they're doing all kinds of things. When we talk social media purely, the largest demographics, and this is across the board for the last 2 years, Australia, America, and most developing countries, is in fact the 25 to 54-year-olds are the largest demographics in the space.
Interesting.
And that's because that age range, me, have come to it at a later stage in life, and we're using it pretty much just for that conversation, just for that listening side of it. And when you look at the demographics of Facebook, the demographics, the largest single user of Facebook is in fact females between 45 and 54 years of age, and has been again for about the last 18 months, 2 years.
Interesting. Interesting. Why do you think it has come so far and then just, what, to 7 years or so?
It comes back to human nature again, that, as I said, we've always tried to find a way to communicate, always wanted our voice heard. All of a sudden we have this thing on steroids. Not only can we be heard by the one or two people we might have had before at the end of a telephone or radio or whatever, radio of course much larger, but now we have the ability for anybody on the planet to be heard literally by the other 7 billion people on it, if our voice is large enough. So it kind of feeds into that ego side that we have of life, of trying to find relevance for who we are and the message that we think is important that we tell everybody. And social media has just become the nicest, newest way of doing that.
It does indeed. Okay, 1-300-221-001, the talkback number. If you have a question for business futurist Maurice Mislowski on the line just for the next couple of minutes. Maurice, what about business? Has it been clever in this use of Facebook, or do they still have a lot to learn?
Still have a lot to learn, but we all do. Business has only come to it in the last couple of years. Facebook was, of course, built for individuals, so it was built for me to put up a profile of who I am and to find people that might be interested in coming together with me. What's happening in business is that we're starting now in the last couple of years to say, well, why can't a business use this? And we're representing what I call the soul of the business, so it's a personal look inside that business. And you're finding that a business person or a marketer is having to connect with the consumer or the person using it in a very different way than ever before. What I mean by that is that we used to, as marketers, talk to the audience. In many ways, we used to yell at them. It was one-way communication. So we'd say something, we'd hope somebody was listening, and there wasn't an opportunity for feedback very often. In social media, it's the exact opposite. We can say something, get immediate feedback, but more importantly, the consumer, the person buying it, can actually make comment independent of us as well. So they're talking about how they use it and when they use it.
So businesses are in some way still trying to find out how to deal with that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What about the impact? You mentioned business there. What about the impact all of this has had on families and friends, that kind of thing?
Yeah. It's an interesting space because the debate's still out of whether, I mean, we can pick on Facebook, but whether social media has made family connections stronger or looser than ever before. Now, I come out on the side of, I think it's actually made it stronger in many ways. We have physical friends, people that we've always met, we play tennis with, we have coffee with, etc., went to school with, family. But we also have a lot of people in our lives that we never really caught up with, except for those major events like birth, deaths and marriages. What we're able to do in social media now is to connect with those people more often than we ever would have before. Obviously not in person, so it's not the best way to do it, but it's second best. And the minutiae of life, those day-to-day things that make us all individuals, we can now learn about each other and find out about each other. So we haven't got a year or 18 months or 2 years between, you know, what have we been doing over the last couple of years, which is generally what we say at weddings, funerals and births. So in that way, it's helped to connect us up, it's helped to make us stronger, it's helped to give us more of a sense of community. It, of course, again with human nature, has a downside to it, and often we can still feel isolated. There's good conversation, and many people are right about the fact that just because we have a number of virtual friends doesn't really mean they're close and connected. The conversations might not be as deep. All of that's absolutely true, but again, it's how we decide to balance, how we decide to use this online space.
So where do you see it going there, Maurice? Can we predict something that will maybe be even bigger than Facebook and Twitter after Facebook and Twitter?
Yeah, well, Facebook has still some life in it. I'm not sure how much longer, though. I think, you know, it's got maybe another 5 years or so. And that's not to say that Facebook will disappear, but what we understand Facebook to do at the moment will disappear. It will have become something else. And this is what they say about themselves, too, that what they want to push into is what's called a search engine. What we're moving to is a world where we won't use a search engine to find a product or a service. We'll actually ask our friends, our relatives and our community, what have they used, who have they used, how have they seen this thing before, which is pretty much the way we've always done it when you think about it. If we didn't know whether an accountant or a plumber, we'd ask our uncle, our aunt or someone else. So social media, once we get over this toy, you know, this kid in the candy store thing of besotted by all of these different brands, we'll eventually just use it as a search engine, as a way to understand the world, to find things that we want. So what you're going to find very quickly is that Facebook becomes very much that default search engine where we go into to ask people, you know, who's around, what are we doing, catch up with people. It'll become that base of communication. But over the top of that, we're going to see lots and lots of new innovation of what social media and what this online space can give us.
Fascinating development. And hopefully, Maurice, we can catch up again in 2 weeks' time and look at more futuristic aspects of business. And if people want to keep up to date with what's happening in the future, I know they can jump on your website, which is businessfuturist.com. Is that right?
That's right. Or join me on Facebook as Business Futurist and catch up in between.
Excellent. Maurice, thanks very much. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks.
A pleasure. Look forward to it. Thanks.
Thanks now. Maurice Mislowski, Business Futurist on ABC White Bay.